We'll be talking about what? Somebody guess. Actually, being imitators of God was last week. So today, we have a similar topic. We're still in the same area, but today we'll be talking about faith in the name of Jesus. But Jesus is central to who we are. He's the one who paid the price. You know, he's the one who made the ultimate sacrifice. Real love will die for you and change your nature from a sinful nature to a nature that is now full of the life of God. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did for us. Praise the Lord. Our main text is Matthew 1:21. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, every time we come and we talk about Jesus, you know, it's good. I'm glad many of us are born again. But the risk that we fall into is we just do things because other people do them. But it's important, child of God, that we understand from the word of God why. For example, it's good for you to ask yourself, why am I born again? Why did Jesus come? Why was there a need for Jesus to come? Because it's very easy, especially within the household of faith, it's very easy to blend in with everybody. They say, who is born again? All of us raise our hands up. They say, why? And then not many of us can understand. But it's important that we understand the same way. Why is it important we understand? So that we have faith in what we understand. And so that it works well for us. Praise the Lord. I mean, think about it. How many people have ever read the story of the sons of Sceva? And I'll tell you where that scripture is very quickly. You know, because the sons of Sceva, they too were trying to blend in. You know, they thought what when it comes to the things of God, all you have to do is just be robotic about it. And when you're robotic about it, it means when somebody coughs, you cough. When somebody sings, you sing, because that's what we do now. No thoughts, no trust, no believing, no faith. You just do it because everybody is doing it. And that's what the sons of Sceva were trying to do in Acts 19. Think about it. Jesus had died now, and the apostles, they were just understanding. And the apostle Paul, he had revelation of what happened on the cross. And that's why he was a trailblazer. You know, and in verse 11, it says God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched him were carried away to the sick, and they were healed. Then some Jewish exorcists, they decided to do a copy. You know, they decided to do a blind imitation. That's what I would call that. Blind imitation is just doing something for the sake of it, no understanding. You just do it because that's what we do. And in Acts 19, so I'm reading Acts 19 and I'm paraphrasing because I do want to move on. So they were seven sons of a Jewish high priest. You know, they had observed, they had watched what was going on. So they decided to themselves, why don't we try it? You know? And then they came to a situation where they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over people who had evil spirits. And in verse 16, actually in verse 15, let's start from 14. It says, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? In verse 16, it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on them. He beat them up, really, mastered all of them and overpowered them. So they fled out of the house, naked and wounded. And this became known to the residents of Ephesus, both the Jews and the Greeks. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. So think about it. What were they trying to do over there? They were just trying to invoke the name of Jesus. No understanding, no faith, no belief, nothing. And why? They wanted fame for themselves. And somebody ended up beating them up. Beating them up black and blue. You know? And really, that's a risk that happens when we come to church And we just blindly imitate what everybody is doing. You know, and so I want to provoke something in us today. Understand why you do what you do. Why do I need to be water baptized? If you don't know, join that Sunday school that teaches about water baptism and ask again, what is the need for Holy Spirit baptism? Ask, why did Jesus come? So why are we doing all this asking? So that you can understand and believe and actually exercise it. Because if you do not understand it, then there goes the gap. All of a sudden, we just find ourselves, all of us who just come to church dressed in blue. Why? Because everybody's dressed in blue. That's what we do. You understand? So God is expecting more. He has given us our brains and sound mind for a reason. So that we are not easily deceived. Because it is what you are grounded in that you can exercise and believe in. And that is what will work for you. You just don't do it because, well, sister, if he did it last week and it worked for her. You know, like people come here and they give testimony. And it's good to be inspired by their testimony. But go back to the word of God and be grounded in that word of God. And just like the name of Jesus, that's what happens. A lot of us, we've heard the name of Jesus. We've heard a lot of prayers ended with, in Jesus' name. So we just take it up and do it. But child of God, the more you read the word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, I'm a really bad woman, right? Verse by verse. Do you understand? The more you understand that verse by verse, go back, understand what Jesus was saying, that in my name, Jesus preached about in my name, in his name, so much so that is the basis of why we say in Jesus' name today. But it's important we understand that, have faith in that, so that every time you approach God in the name of Jesus, it will work for you. Praise the Lord. So, Back, we're talking about the name of Jesus, but really you just wonder, why is this name so important? Who is this Jesus and why did he come? You know, why did he make the effort? So Jesus is God himself and he came in the form of man. Why? We needed to be redeemed. Why did we need to be redeemed? Guess what? Adam, God, who has ever read Genesis 1? God gave him dominion. Imagine. He had to name all the animals that we see today. He had to name them. I just get a laugh out of those, especially those animals with very, very long names. The hippopotamus. You know, he must have had a good time doing that. But think about it. God gave him dominion. He was not afraid of those animals. God gave him, he had the nature like God. And guess what happened? When Eve ate the apple and they disobeyed God, they sold out their birthright. They sold out their dominion. And that's what the Bible tells us. Let's read Romans 5, verse 12. Sorry, I apologize for the guys handing the scriptures. The order may not be the same, but you have the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing upon you, actually. So you know all things. You can do all things. Praise the Lord. Let's read Romans 5, verse 12. Are we there? Let's read together. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread death to everyone for everyone's sin. And that's what happened. Because of Adam's sin, you know, some scriptures call it high treason. You know what it is? High treason. When somebody comes and steals from you, that's what the devil did. The devil came and stole from Adam. And everybody born of a woman, the Bible says sin entered the world and we were all infected. We were all affected. And because of that, there was a separation between man and God. And that is why Jesus needed to come. Because a price needed to be paid. There was that gulf. And if you see, for everyone that is not born again, there is a God, there is a void that human beings on our own that we are seeking for. We're seeking for the love of God. We desire the love of God. And that's why you will see people seeking for God in the wrong places. In the completely wrong places. And it's only the love of God through Jesus that can meet that need. And that is why you and I, we can be redeemed. Because somebody came and paid the price. You know, the sin for which we should have died. Jesus came and said, I'm going to take their place. And he did, to the glory of God. Think about it. Somebody has committed a major sin and he's sentenced to die. Maybe he's on death row. And Jesus steps up and says, you know what? I take his or her place. I take his or her place. Give me the sentence. I will pay for the crime. I will change their nature. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Why? Because man needed to be redeemed. No matter what, our goodness could not redeem us. Only Jesus could come and be a man and die for us and put and crucify on the cross our sinful nature and all our past sins so that we could ever have a chance and be forgiven. That is the gift of salvation that Jesus did. And it's important, again, understand that. Don't just be born again for born again's sake. Don't just be born again because everybody stands up. Understand that. Understand what price. It is a great price that was paid on our behalf. And that is why when we stand here praising and worshiping and thanking God and we enjoy the Holy Communion, it is because much was accomplished on our behalf. Bible says Jesus, he predestinated, he separated us and said, you know what, Sister Julie, you will be born again. I will lead you to Orange Four Square Church. And this is why Jesus came, so that you and I can have life in abundance. Praise the Lord. So, of course, in doing that, the Bible tells us that what Jesus did, that one act that Jesus did by coming and by leaving everything that made him God and by paying the sacrifice, he became the sacrificial lamb. He died on the cross. He endured pain so that you and I can be whole. Everything that we lack, Jesus became so that in him we might be whole and complete. Nothing missing in our lives. Nothing broken in our lives. Spiritually whole. Emotionally whole. Financially whole. That's what Jesus did for us. But sometimes the difference between us enjoying that is our ignorance. And pretty much really our effort. Sometimes we just take things for granted and we just follow the crowd. But this morning I'm challenging you, step away from the crowd. Know God for yourself. Know what he did on the cross. Embrace it and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. So because Jesus, he did this for us, you know, he freed us so that we can live our lives without condemnation. We talked about that last week. He also took our place. You know, he took our place and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. This is somebody that legally we should have been committed to die. But Jesus came and he now took that penalty. So, and then on top of it, he made us righteous. So that way we always have an audience with God. Nothing can limit us from God. Praise the Lord. He made us a new creation and gave us a godly nature. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then he raised us from the dead and seated us with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. That's Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. He united us with Christ Jesus. Where Adam had opened the door for us to be separated by God, Jesus came and made us united with God. In Romans, it says that we are now co-heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. It means we now have a stake in a godly inheritance. Praise the Lord. And so why am I running through all this that Jesus did? I'm telling you the benefits, the sacrifice, and the benefits and the blessings that you and I ought to enjoy. Every day we live, don't wait until heaven. Every day you live, enjoy the benefits of your salvation. Enjoy your righteousness. Don't let the enemy hold anything over your head. Every day you live, be full of praise. Nothing should get you down because much has been accomplished. Be full of praise for what Jesus did on the cross. Praise the Lord. So in doing that, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:9, can we have that? And I'm sorry, whoever is sending me text right now, I can't read it. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:9, can we have that? Let's read that together. Philippians 2:9 to 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest. Sorry, can I stop us? Let's read from verse 5. You know, sometimes you need to get things in context. Let's just not limit it to that verse. Let's understand the before, the after. So Philippians 2, from verse 5 to 11, the Amplified Version. Amplified. Okay, do we have it? Let's read. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in at the name of Jesus, every knee should, must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, 11 on the last verse, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's amazing, because if you don't understand it, I encourage us, look up the New Living Translation. I know the Amplified is very amplified, but the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. Praise the Lord. So you see, see what that Bible verse is saying, is that because of what Jesus did, and what did he do? In verse 7, he says, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up every privilege that came with him being God. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And then verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on the cross. It says in verse 9, it says, therefore, as a result of the sacrifice that Jesus made, on whose behalf? On our behalf, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. In verse 10, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. What is that scripture saying? That scripture is saying, this, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God gave to him the name that is higher, that is above every human concept ever dreamed or imagined, that is above every circumstance, every situation. That name dominates, and that name has power to change and reverse. Praise the Lord. And so it's important that we understand that name is no ordinary name. It is not an ordinary name. It is not the name of maybe a Rockefeller. A Rockefeller, pales in comparison to its power. Human names will open maybe some doors, but it cannot change your sickness. It cannot make death into life. That is what the name of Jesus does for us. Hallelujah. And then every time we say that name of Jesus, Jesus is standing there representing God, making the change for us, changing our circumstances. That is why every time you and I pray in the name of Jesus, don't ever take it lightly. Don't ever think, well, this is what we do. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus, the advocate, he's saying, I stand by the word of God. And whatever you declare to be possible becomes impossible. Why? Because that is the name of highest honor. There is no other name that can supersede that name of Jesus. There is no other power associated with that name. So, child of God, what do you have in your hand? And are you using it? Do you recognize what it is for its power? Praise the Lord. So it's important we understand. It's important that it's very critical we understand the reason why the name of Jesus has the highest honor on earth, in heaven, under the earth, every time. And really, as Jesus preached about it in the scriptures, you start to see, he says, even when you pray, use my name. But we will get into that. Praise the Lord. So that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. In case you are wondering, oh, why are you teaching the name of Jesus? I already know. Guess what? That's the first hint that we need to teach it this morning. Because the Bible says, if you think that you are standing, you're about to fall. The day that you think that you have understood the word of God, that is when you have the most hunger for it. And that's when you have the greatest need for it. Because you know what? Even as we think we understand things, the Bible says we should make sure that we be grounded continually so that these things, they don't slip from us. Because what it is, we're human beings and we have the tendency to form routines. We could very well form cultures and traditions. It's very easy for us to do. Like, think about it. If you have a menu, maybe a food menu in your house, and on Mondays, maybe we eat yam and we eat rice, and it becomes ingrained in our memories such that, look at me. I mean, when I was little, I remember after church every Sunday, we would go home and eat yam and egg. That now, in my mind, is now a custom. But you know what? The word of God is even stronger, whereby we should always look at it as fresh bread. Fresh bread for us to devour. Why? Because the revelation keeps expanding. What you think you understood yesterday is not what the Holy Spirit will show to you today. You will have a different reference point today. But as much as you decide to honor that word of God and to make it yours, that's the extent to which it will work for you. Praise the Lord. If you come to church feeling that I already know these things, I don't need to know it. Hint, hint. That's a little bit of there's pride involved, and we need to have a teachable spirit. We need to eagerly approach the word of God. Because why? Because we keep eating, we can never get full. We can never get full. We keep eating, we keep growing into the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So it's important that we understand the name, the power of the name. There is majesty and glory associated with that name. Think about it. Some people are born to great names. You know, think about Prince William, you know, of the UK. I mean, think about Prince Elizabeth. All those people were born into a royal, you know, into a royal government. And, you know, with that, yes, I mean, I'm sure maybe some of us might be royalty. Maybe your father is the Oba of a town or whatever. Some people are born into greatness. Some people, they make their names great by their achievements. Think about it. The person who founded Facebook, he made his name great by his achievements, you know? And then some people just have a great name given to them, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe they were the 100,000th customer in Walmart, and they won a prize because a bell rang off, and their names are maybe put on a brick. So there are different names by which people get a great name. But you know what? The name of Jesus, the more excellent name of Jesus, he came by all three means. Jesus' name is great because, number one, he inherited a great name. And we're going to get into that. Number two, his name is great because of his achievements. We already started talking about some of those achievements. And then his name is great because God the Father, he conferred that name upon him. We read that in Philippians. Praise the Lord. So how did Jesus inherit his name? The Bible says that he was born king. He was born with the authority to rule. He was born, the government was upon his shoulders. Remember the prophecies that were told surrounding the birth of Jesus. They're not for nothing. They're for us to understand the greatness of this king. Because what tends to happen is that because Jesus became human, sometimes we tend to now see him as our classmates. You know how it is. You see somebody every day, and familiarity just throws off the respect and the honor that you should be given to them. And that's why it's important we remind ourselves of the greatness of this Jesus. And again, if you don't see the name of Jesus for the power that he has, that name cannot work for you. If you don't recognize that the name of Jesus is sufficient to change your life and to translate you from death to life, that name can only work because it means you have no faith in that name. So that's why it's important go where we understand the power behind that name. That name is enough. That same name is enough to make change light into day. That same name is enough to affect your circumstances and mine. Praise the Lord. So really, the Father gave Jesus the authority to lose men and to forgive sins and to set them free. He could not do that unless he had a higher status than the forces that he was setting people from. Think about it. Remember when he approached that man that had a legion of demons. He had to be at a higher status in order to dominate. Do you understand? Otherwise, if he was at a lower spiritual status and he was commanding, those legions, because there were many of them, they would have instead changed. The circumstance would have been different. But even demons had to recognize his authority. Do you recognize his authority today? Before the cross. This was even before the cross. Praise the Lord. Let's read a few scriptures. Matthew 2 verse 2. Can we show that? Matthew 2 verse 2, KJV. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Praise the Lord. Remember, these are the shepherds that the Holy Spirit inspired that, look, a king has been born. So Jesus was already a king. Remember, the governments will be upon his shoulders. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father. Those are the names that were given to Jesus even before he was born. So think about it. He was already a king. He was already exalted. You know, we talked about the when Jesus approached the man that had the legion, that had the unclean spirits within him. Praise the Lord. And then in John 5, 25 to 27, it says, the Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. So why did we go through all those scriptures? Why? So that we realize that Jesus inherited his name. He inherited that name that is high above every situation, every circumstance, every disease, every limitation. Jesus' name is above it. And the sooner we know and understand and believe that, the more it will work for us. Praise the Lord. Also, how else did Jesus get to this place where he had this name that's so full of power? By bestowal. We just read that scripture. Let's go back to it. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Can we just show that? It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. So Jesus, that name of Jesus is at the place of highest honor. And that name is above every other name. And that's why at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Praise the Lord. So you see, God bestowed that name on Jesus. Why? For the sacrifice and what he did. And he went to the cross willingly. He took on human flesh willingly. You know, he took on human flesh so that he could die. And so that because of that, you and I can wake up in newness of life. Our spirits have been made born again. We can say we are redeemed. We can say we are children of the Most High. We can say there's no condemnation holding us back. Praise the Lord. And because Jesus humbled himself before the Father so much, the Father lifted him up, you know. And really, the scriptures tell us that God resists the proud. But people who humble themselves, they will be lifted up. So let's stop for a minute. This is a place for us to stop and learn. In what areas are we in our day-to-day life humbling ourselves? Are you humbling yourselves before your head of ministry? Maybe they ask you to do something and you decide that that's the time to debate it. That's not humbling yourself. Are you humbling yourself even with your children? Some of us have never apologized to our children. And yet, we need to get to that place where they understand that when you are wrong, no matter your age, you apologize and we move on. Praise the Lord. So really, it's a spiritual law. When you humble yourself, guess what happens? God will lift you up. Are you humbling yourself on the job to yield yourself to the authority that God has put over you? Even our national authority, are you humbling yourself trusting that God is able to use whoever is in power? Are we humbling us? And you know, you humble yourself in your speech. You humble yourself with your actions. Sometimes some of us, because we're influential, we will go and incite people to be rebellious. I mean, that is not the nature of God. Again, he who humbles himself, if you humble yourself, you will be lifted up. But if you lift yourself up, you will be put down. Praise the Lord. You know, there are people whereby they will say to you, "Do you know who I am?" In fact, the minute when you ask, "Do you know who I am?" then we have to really pray for you. Because you are lifting yourself up. Nobody needs to know who you are. Nobody needs to know I am so-so and so. But guess what? They will know and they will respect you. You don't demand respect. People will see it in your words, in your actions, and they will fall in line with you. That's to our leaders as well. Because even in the place of leadership, guess what? In godly leadership, it's servant leadership. It's not, you don't put on airs and say, "I'm the boss here. All of you obey me." No, no, no. It's servant leadership. It's just that God has set you apart to be the leader. God has not put you over because you are better than everybody else. But the bottom line is that all of us, we're a team. So we work together. So even if we all stumble together, we make amends and we keep humbling ourselves. Why? Because the kingdom of God should not be stopped with our old ways. These are our old ways of our righteousness now. The more we are growing in the things of God, the more that the kingdom should be advancing. Because of the kingdom should not be held up because one person has a massive ego. No, no, no. It's not about human egos. It's about the purpose of God. Let's never, never forget that it is Christ Jesus who we are serving. Let's remove yourself out of the equation. He has nothing to do with you. If you don't do it, God will look for another person. That is the bottom line. We're not indispensable. So I don't know how many of us have been saying no to God. And you heard my husband last week. Pastor Uche, I remember that time was so funny. Because Pastor Uche came to him and said, it was Brad Chuka then. But Pastor Uche came to him and said, "Look, it would be good for you to teach this Sunday school class." Oh, he resisted it. "Oh, no, I'm not going to." And it was such that I was still planning to have a conversation with him later. Maybe you better consider. But he was no. So me too, I left the issue. You know, it's up to God now. And God started dealing with him. He is the person that went to Pastor Uche and said, "Okay, Pastor Uche, I'm ready now." You know, I don't know how many of you've been resisting. Maybe they've been asking you to serve in one ministry or the other. There is a gifting in your life that is for that area. Don't let that talent go to waste. Again, much has been done on our behalf to place us here, whereby we can be guilt-free and we can serve God without guilt. Much has been done on our behalf. Jesus went on the cross and he died the death of a criminal for you and I so that we can stand. Don't let anything God did for you go to waste. Now, your life is right now in Christ Jesus. Right now, this is the time, this is the season. Praise the Lord. So let's move on. Let's move on. So because of Jesus' humility, let's learn from that humility. And let's let it affect every area of our lives. Praise the Lord. And then let's read another scripture, Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. This is the Apostle Paul. He was writing to the Ephesian church. And you know, I don't know how many of you have looked through the life of Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he was so in love with Jesus. And that is key to his ministry. He was so in love with Jesus, and he made Jesus the central point of his understanding. He said, "Look, I'm trying to," because that was one of the things I was going to talk about last week, and I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is bringing it up now. He says, "Nothing will stop me from knowing this Jesus. Nothing will stop him." To the point whereby every church that he wrote to, he was always imploring them that, "Look, you need to grow in your knowledge and understanding of Jesus." He considered everything nonsense. You know, every other knowledge was secondary. His main purpose was knowing Jesus. And I challenge all of us, let your main purpose be of knowing Jesus. Understand his ministry. Understand his love. his way he walked in love. Understand his faith and let that trigger something within you. Understand it, believe it, and have faith in it so that you can function the way he functioned. In fact, Jesus said, greater works than I do will you do. Why? But on the other hand, he needs us to get there by understanding him, by believing what he did on the cross, and by being fully equipped, and we're ready to serve in whatever capacity. Praise the Lord. Let's read Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. The Apostle Paul was praying here for he was writing a letter to the Ephesian church. Let's read. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Next verse. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who has his rich and glorious inheritance. This is a prayer we should be praying for ourselves, by the way. Because we pray that our eyes will be, our hearts will be flooded with light. What does that mean? So that we understand the hope to which Jesus has called us. So that this walk with God, it will just not be, oh, I'm full of knowledge. It will be something that we understand, we experience. Whereby, if somebody pokes you in the middle of the night, you know what to say now. If you have a bad dream, you don't be calling the wrong people. Oh, I had a bad dream. No. You are a child of God. You have authority. Why? Because the authority that was given to Jesus is also given to who? To you and I. You can exercise your authority. Case closed. Move on. Hallelujah. Fulfill the purpose of God. So let's continue to read. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. One second before we read that, let's just go. You see that there is power behind that name. That same power was sufficient to raise Jesus up from the dead. And that same power is in that name. That's the glory you and I have been called to. You know, power that raises Jesus from the dead should be operating in our lives every day, every minute, every second. But the minute that we choose to forget about that power or not to have faith in it, then it ceases to work for us. Praise the Lord. It's like there's an atomic bomb in our hearts, but we choose to forget about it. And that atomic bomb, Jesus has put it there to create, to change circumstances, to use his name, to affect things. And that's why you and I, we're not ordinary. We cannot function on the same level that everybody in this world functions. The only person that limits us is our unbelief. And that is when we choose not to believe what has been done on the cross for us. So we can't afford to live like that. We can't. If you have been living like that, we thank God today is a day of change. If you have been living like that, whereby your circumstances are dictating your feelings, or your feelings are dictating everything in your life, today is a day of salvation. The prison doors, they've already been opened. It's time for you to step up and walk through them. Praise the Lord. I'll tell a quick story, a testimony. There's a family member of mine, whereby my husband and I, there was this issue that he was dealing with, and he's not born again. So that, again, was a limitation. So we've been praying for this family member. So there was this circumstance. And this circumstance has been going on to like 10 years. And every time you talk to him, I mean, of course, he's not born again at all. His own thing is, oh, or you talk to people close to the matter, they'll say, oh, this is not natural. So, and then eventually there was a little bit of a breakthrough in that situation. And I was discussing with my husband. I say, it's funny, this breakthrough that he called us about, he called me to tell me about it, and I got excited. I said, but you know what? The prison doors have been open all this time. He just needed to walk through it. How many of us have the prison doors been open for because of the word of God, because of the name of Jesus? And yet you remain behind them instead of in front of them. declaring that I have been redeemed, declaring that I have been healed, declaring that I am no longer bound. How many of us, because of our unbelief, or sometimes we tell ourselves, I'm just an introvert. Believe me, I've used that excuse before too. It doesn't work. Why? Because the knowledge of the word of God, it changes you. You cannot stay behind those doors. God has called you and I to function at the level and grace of honor, at the place of power. If you're behind prison doors, today is your day of salvation. Get up, step out with praise, with jubilation. Don't let what you see, what you smell, what you perceive, don't let that dictate your circumstances. No. Let the word of God, backed by the name of Jesus, that name that changes things, that name that, you know the excellent, something excellent. Think about it. When the world was created, who do you think was there? Jesus was there. That name was already there. So if he created the heavens and the earth, and then if he took on the course of man, what will he not do for you and I? What is there that he will not do? What impossibility is there that his name will not handle? So today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. And like my family member, I realized, I said to my husband, I said, but you know what? If God is doing this, then how, in terms of his salvation, why do I even need to have sleepless nights? It's a done matter. So every time I see him, I thank God. I thank God because those prison doors, not only is that problem changing, but also the issue of salvation is also resolved. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. So let's continue to read. So in verse 21, he says, I think that's where we stopped, right? We stopped at 20, yes. So can we read? The same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Let's go. 21. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Let's go. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. In fact, this is the place to start dancing. Because God has put, let's go back to that scripture. God has put every limitation under the authority of Christ. God has put everything scaring you and maybe giving you sleepless nights under the authority of Christ. And guess what? It's for our benefit. It's for us to enjoy. Something that benefits you brings you joy. Something that benefits you changes the circumstance. It makes you go to sleep every night like a baby. You cast your cares upon the Lord and you just sleep. And that's why in the storm, Jesus could sleep and yet there was thunder and lightning. Now I understand it better. Now I'm not going to worry about it. Praise the Lord. I had a work situation whereby, it's very interesting because sometimes I think I needed to, again, I needed to remind myself of who I was and what name I was working with. Because I was working, I was doing my human best, but all of a sudden, the person I was working with just started to maybe escalate things. And you know, when things are escalated, it means that your boss's boss knows about something that has very little significance. And so I said to my husband, I said, this is very interesting. You know, I understand who I am in Christ Jesus, but this thing is happening. You know, because at a point, I started to get discouraged. I said, well, maybe it's time for me to, but you know what? And my husband really, really helped me because he preached it to me. He told me, look, that job is your job. Your steps are ordered of God, you know? There's the only person that can say that job is no longer your job is you. You are a child of the Most High. You declare the end from the beginning. And you know what? Faith came on. Faith came. Me that was crying. I wiped my eyes off very quickly. And then I started declaring to that situation. I said, it's over. It's over. It ceases. Devil, you are a liar. Take your hands off my work. Take your hands off of it. I say, you know what? God has put all things, including this matter, under the authority of Christ. And is under my own authority. Why? Because I'm seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. He is the head. He is the King of all kings. I don't know what is seeming to you like a king, but Jesus is higher than that king. I don't know how many, maybe you're looking for a job. The Bible says the earth is God's and the fullness thereof. All you can do, make a claim on that word of God in the name of Jesus. Believe it, trust it. Let's have faith in it. As you have declared, let your actions follow it. It will work for you. That is the power of God that we bring to bear every time we call on the name of Jesus. That is the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus up from the dead. There's no depth to what it can do. And there's no ceiling to what it can do. But we need to proclaim that name. Proclaim the greatness of that name. That's why every time I dance in praise and worship, it is because that name is working for me. That name is doing things that I could never anticipate. Every time I pray in the Spirit, that name is arranging my future. It is arranging my future. It is perfecting things before I get there. Praise the Lord. Every crooked path is lining it up. So I have no fear about today. I have no fear about tomorrow. Because the one in whom I believe, he created yesterday, he created today, he created tomorrow. Tomorrow's tomorrow. I will never be alone in this world because Jesus is with me. Praise the Lord. And that's the boldness that we have. Is it a boastfulness? In fact, is a boastfulness just about the name of Jesus? It's not a boastfulness based on who I am. That's what the world has taught us to be boastful about. Whereby you say, well, I have a PhD. And, you know, and thank God for PhDs. I don't want to put you down. But bottom line is that God opened those doors so that you could function in the place where he purposed for you to function. God gave you that PhD for his glory. Use it for his glory. Don't just be all about the economics. The economics are great. But you know what? What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What are you doing in that your organization? All the unsaved people that you come across. How are you bringing the name of Jesus to bear with them? Even if you're not sharing the gospel, in your closet, advocate for their souls. Advocate for their souls. Why? Because we have the power of the name that changes hearts. Why won't their hearts be changed? You think it's for nothing that you come across people? All through our life, we will potentially come across at least about 3,000 people. That's 3,000 people to share the gospel with and to pray for. And God will bring supernatural circumstances. You find yourself the conversation going to a place where you can share the gospel and the wisdom of God. Guess what? It's not even your speech. Is him again. What is there left for us to do? Just come, stand in position, and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. No more no. In the kingdom of God, it is yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So that scripture that we just read, the Apostle Paul, he was praying that we get enlightened and get the knowledge of the word of God. You know? And really, I just talked about how the benefit of that is the church. The benefit for Jesus' name being the highest, having the highest honor is for the church. And we have that right to use that name every time we petition God and every time in our praise and worship. But we do need to have a revelation of the name of Jesus so that it will work for us when we pray for others and others who may be influenced by any authority other than God. Praise the Lord. So, especially our family members by now should all be prayed for. If you haven't finished praying for them, write a list. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. Trust God that God will cause divine circumstances for you to speak, or he will lead laborers around them that will minister the word of salvation. That is our responsibility as children of God. Praise the Lord. So, it's important, again, we understand the word of God. How else did Jesus acquire this name? This powerful name. It is by conquest. What is conquest? What is conquest? When you conquer something, it means that you overcome it. You overcome it. Think about it. there's a place in my notes whereby I was trying to understand when you say Jesus conquered, he conquered principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. And in some other Bible verses, the Bible says that Jesus exposed those negative spirits. He exposed the principalities, powers, might, and dominion. He shattered them. He emptied them. He defeated them. He paralyzed them. Why? For you, for yours, and my benefit. Jesus did not conquer those principalities and powers for nothing. He conquered them so that you and I can walk in victory. He conquered them so that you and I can conquer them every time, rather than be in fear of them. Rather, because sometimes the enemy and our culture tries to tell us, oh, you better be in fear. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus conquered and gave us victory. So we now exercise that victory. Any circumstance that seems like it is not the way that God intended it to be, we stand on that authority and we conquer and we remind them of what Jesus did on the cross. And because of that, that circumstance is, he bows to the name of, to the Lordship of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So because Jesus was the Son of Man and he had not surrendered the original authority, you know, Jesus was the only person who did not surrender his authority through Adam. Remember that Jesus was God? Remember? So he was the only person who stood out. He had not surrendered. The rest of us had, just by birth. You know? So he had a legitimate right to exercise the authority that he exercised. You know, and really, the devil, he had taken the authority of Adam, remember? But Jesus came, and Jesus was a man. He had not bowed to the enemy, and he had that legal authority, you know? But the devil, remember, the devil tried to trick Jesus to surrender that authority? Because the devil wanted, again, to challenge who he was. So, again, he was trying to do the same old tricks, just a different person. It was Adam before, and now the second Adam. But guess what? The second Adam, he turned things around. He said, no, 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 it is written. It is written. He knew who he was, and he knew the highest honor of his name. And he reminded the enemy that, look, this battle is already won. The devil argued that the authority of the kingdoms of the world was Jesus, was already given to him. But it was a lie. The Bible says that, look, the enemy, the devil, he's the father of all lies. In fact, his nature is to lie. I don't know what lies the enemy has been telling you. I don't know. Maybe it's a lie about your future. Maybe it's a lie about your business. But as Jesus was able to overturn that lie, I challenge us this morning, overturn that lie that the enemy is whispering. I don't know. Maybe it's a lie about your children. Overturn that lie that this child, he is for signs and wonders. He will not lose his way. Overturn that lie every time that thought comes. Overturn that lie. Why? Because you have the power in the name of Jesus to use to overturn that lie. Praise the Lord. You're not just overturning the lie by yourself, but on the other hand, you have all of heaven backing you, standing by you, and says, you know what? You shall do as she has said. Praise the Lord. That is really what Jesus did. And on the cross, Jesus took the authority that Satan had to afflict death because of our sins. And he wrestled all the authority now to himself. And this is how Jesus achieved authority in that name. So there is authority in that name. There are things that happen in that name. Every time we use the name of Jesus, every authority is subject to the power behind that name. Remember, that name had the highest honor. That name is a name above all names. I don't know what you are struggling or grappling with today. I don't know what is challenging the level of that name in your life. We need to remind it of the highest honor of the name of Jesus and the authority and what Jesus conquered. Every principality, every power. Let's read some scriptures. Praise the Lord. Let's read Colossians 2:15. Are we there? Jesus conquered the world and gave me victory. Victory, victory, hallelujah. Jesus conquered the world and gave you victory. Victory, victory, hallelujah. So somebody who believes that Jesus conquered the world on their behalf, how do you walk? Do you walk downtrodden? No, because victory was given to you. Victory has been won for you and I. So is there any reason for us to be downtrodden? Is there any reason for us to be depressed? Child of God, I don't know. Maybe you came to church sad or depressed about one thing or the other. Remind yourself of the conquest that Jesus did at the cross. Praise the Lord. Remind yourself that he disarmed rulers and authorities, every supernatural force operating against us. Let's read Colossians 2:15, Amplified. Are we there? In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah! He disarmed them. He broke them apart. He paralyzed them. He destroyed them. Remind yourself of that. Anything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, remind yourself. Remind that thing, in fact. Jesus disarmed you. I don't know if it's financial issues. Maybe the enemy is trying to mess with your finances. Disarm that spirit trying to mess with your finances. Disarm, when you see strife in a situation, it's time for you to take over. Disarm that spirit of strife. Jesus shamed it publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what Jesus did. That is what Jesus did. And because of that, He triumphed over them. That's what another Bible verse says. Bible version says. He said he triumphed over them. So because of what Jesus did, Jesus came and restored our dominion back to us. So every time we walk from a place of dominion. We don't walk from a place of old me, oh dear, poor me. Gone are those days. Gone are those days of ignorance. And if you do not know, make it an effort to know what God's word is saying about your situation. And let the name of Jesus back you up. Praise the Lord. So let's read Ephesians 1:19-21, the Amplified Version. Are any of us sleeping? Is this boring? Praise the Lord. So every time there is victory, there is a sound of joy. There is a sound of triumph. There is rejoicing. Don't let the spirit of depression convince you that what was done on the cross does not benefit you. It is for our benefit and for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. Amen. Victory, victory. Hallelujah. 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 Victory, victory. Hallelujah. Jesus conquered the devil. Victory, victory. Hallelujah. 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 Victory, victory. Jesus conquered the devil. He has given me victory. Higher Jehovah. Oh, has he given you victory? Has he given you victory? Victory, victory. Hallelujah. Oh, victory, victory. Jesus conquered the devil. Pata, pata. Hallelujah. Amen. The day that you are not feeling victorious, write that song down. Sing it to yourself. Let faith be stirred up in your heart. Really, what should be coming out of our mouth is testimonies of the victory of God. Why? We are more than the enemy tries to make us. Don't forget that victory on the cross. And that's why we need to, every time the church doors are open, we need to hear what the Spirit of God is reminding us of. Why? Because sometimes these things we can easily forget. We need to be grounded with them again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's read Ephesians 1:19-21. It says, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. Think about it. When there's a big word, slow down. Immeasurable. What does it mean when something is immeasurable?
You can't even contain it. You can't measure it. You cannot limit it. There's no box that can fit it. So you can know and understand what is immeasurable and unlimited. Something is unlimited. It's not even double anymore. It's triple, quadruple. It's beyond whatever number you can put on it. And surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. His power is in us and it's for us who believe. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, let's keep going, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Praise the Lord. That is a note of victory. If you didn't get it, go back home, meditate on that scripture. I mean, that is a note of victory. Why? Because it means the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, that same power can affect my circumstances. That same power is available to me. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So because of this conquest, what else did Jesus conquer? You know, every principality and power is tied to all these diseases that we hear about. And really, that is how we take over. We take our victory. I don't know what disease the enemy, I don't know what negative reports you have heard. It's time for you to turn it around. Start declaring that victory. Start declaring what Jesus did. Jesus came, destroyed anything that the devil, any lie that the devil could try to tell against your body. So we need to exert that victory. Jesus conquered it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, it is living and working in us. Remind your body of that the day you start to feel tired. Praise the Lord. Again, the Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers, against the world forces of this present darkness. That's Ephesians 6, 12 to 13. And really, because Jesus already dealt with it, we just stand by and we declare what Jesus dealt with. And we declare that, look, Jesus won this battle. There's no struggle anymore. Praise the Lord. And you know what happens? You can repeat a name like a parrot. How many of us have seen parrots? Especially when they teach the parrots very bad things to say. Then the parrots may now abuse you. But it's because the parrot has heard people saying things over and over again. But when you know what is the backing of the name of Jesus, and when you understand the authority that is behind that name, then you can have faith in that name and exercise that name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Time goes when you're having fun. Amen. We're going to round up. Think about it. Look at the life of Peter. You know, Peter, he operated the name of Jesus by having faith in the name of Jesus. He believed in the power of that name. We'll see that in Acts 3 from verse 1 to 8. Peter and John, they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a crippled man. I'm paraphrasing because of time. There was a man who was crippled. And when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked them for money. But Peter, along with John, he looked at him intently. And he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have." The Amplified says, "In the name, in the authority, in the power of Jesus Christ, start to walk." And he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. I don't know what circumstances you need to start addressing. In the name, in the authority, and the power of the name of Jesus. We have to, because Peter, is Peter unlike us? No. Peter was not unlike us. You know, he had walked with Jesus. Jesus had gone on the cross. He had accepted the gift of salvation. So you and I, every circumstance that comes our way, our duty is to seize that circumstance, remind it of what Jesus did on the cross, and with faith, claim our victory, and it is done. Praise the Lord. All we need to do is to have faith in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So where can we exercise the power and the authority of the name of Jesus? I'll give us a few scriptures. Number one, in prayer, John 16, 23 to 24, Jesus was teaching here. He says, in that name, you will not need to ask me about anything. I assure you and I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he will give unto you. Praise the Lord. In New Covenant prayer, we have been given the use of the name of Jesus. So every time we ask the Father for something in the name of Jesus, Jesus endorses it and is a done matter. Praise the Lord. We cannot come to the Father. And you know, sometimes we come to God and we say, hey, God, well, because I gave $50 at church yesterday, this is what you can do. No, 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 no. You are trying to come in your own name and your own good deeds. We come in the name of Jesus. Why? You know those righteous, those self-righteous things? The Bible calls them dirty rags. So we need the name of Jesus to endorse what we are asking. And God expects us to simply come like a little child. Sit there and just sit there. Use the name of Jesus in prayer. Just use the name of Jesus in prayer. No other names. Not the name of your grandmother. Not the name of a disciple. Not the name of a saint. The name of Jesus. We come to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we've already talked about the authority in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to get into that. Where else? You know, and there's so many examples about the authority of the name of Jesus. Think about the centurion. The centurion, he came to Jesus, said, Master, act, and this is Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Master, my servant is sick. He cannot walk. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, no, I understand authority. Just say the word and so be it. Do you understand the authority in the name of Jesus? If you understand the authority in the name of Jesus, you believe in it, that name of Jesus will work for you every time. Praise the Lord. And I'm really flying here. Praise the Lord. Where else do we use the name of Jesus? We use the name of Jesus every time we gather here, right? Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I don't know how many gatherings that we are where the name of Jesus is absent. Think about it. But every time we gather and we proclaim the name of Jesus, guess what? He is here in our midst. Praise the Lord. Did we proclaim the name of Jesus in this service today? Praise the Lord. Is he here in our midst? Absolutely. The name of Jesus in salvation, Acts 4:12. The Bible says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved. Praise the Lord. And then to end, everything that we do is in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to the Father through him. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is instructing us here. If you sweep the floor, sweep it in the name of Jesus. If you wash dishes, wash it in the name of Jesus. If you teach a Sunday school class, teach it in the name of Jesus. If you are a husband, be a husband in the name of Jesus. If you are a wife, be a wife in the name of Jesus. If you are single, be single in the name of Jesus. If you are a worker at your job, be a worker in the name of Jesus. On your business, do your business handlings in the name of Jesus. That means we can't bring anything corrupt inside it. And that's why we need to walk in the consciousness of the power of whose name we bear, of whose name that we are using. God expects everything, our words and our deeds, to be in the name of Jesus. He expects us to live our everyday life in honor of the name of Jesus. Are we doing that? Let's ask ourselves that. Praise the Lord. Remember the people who arrested Peter and John? They were so scared of the name of Jesus. And you see that even in today's land. Every time you bring up Jesus, everybody becomes very anxious. It causes an instability. Praise the Lord. But I challenge us today, the name of Jesus, the power that he has. Like I said, it's like carrying an atomic bomb in your hand and not knowing what to do with it. But by the grace of God, we know what to do with it today. Today is a day of change. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.